In recent weeks, the news coming out of Russia has made us think about what President Vladimir Putin is up to. Putin has rammed through legislation to weaken the country's governors and centralize power. He's overseen the breakup of Russia's most productive oil company, and he intervened in Ukrainian politics on the side of the candidate accused of election fraud. Andrew Jack is the outgoing Moscow bureau chief of the Financial Times. He's been based in Russia since 1998, and his new book is called Inside Putin's Russia. Welcome, Mr. Jack.
Thank you.
Let's start with Ukraine. Putin endorsed the Prime Minister Yanukovych there, and that move seems to have backfired. It seemed to push a lot of Ukrainians to vote for the challenger Yushchenko, and after days of street demonstrations, the Supreme Court ordered a revote, which Yushchenko won. Why do you think Putin lobbied so hard for Yanukovych?
Well, I think the starting point is Putin was using political technology, as the Russian would say, that he'd used a number of times both domestically within Russia, basically applying his magic touch in order to ensure the election of regional governors and the party of power that was closest to him in national elections. And I think he was starting to think that really he was becoming powerful enough to send the same sort of magic message to voters abroad who had a traditional reflex of support towards Russia.
So is he trying to restore Russian rule over the republics?
I wouldn't say restore Russian rule, but what he is trying to do is to perhaps re-establish some of the links that fell apart, really, with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991.
Do you think he overreached when it came to Ukraine?
I think there's no question about it. A little bit before the elections in Ukraine, he had pushed very much for the endorsement of a candidate in the presidential elections of this tiny breakaway separatist republic called Abkhazia.
Which is in Georgia.
Which is on the borders of Georgia and Russia, exactly. And essentially there, his endorsement already was seen by the local people as being too heavy-handed, and his candidate was rejected. And really, I think his advisers and he himself should have taken the message that even if there's some pro-Russian sympathy in these surrounding areas, people also want to make up their own minds in what have become their own countries, and they no longer want the Kremlin to be dictating the terms.
Well, there's also his efforts to reach out and reclaim some economic power. Let's talk about Yukos, which is the private oil company the Kremlin seems to have reclaimed in a recent and controversial auction. Even one of Putin's top economic advisors called it the scam of the year. What's the aim here?
Well, I think Yukos began first and foremost as a political attack by President Putin on Mikhail Khodorkovsky, one of the oligarchs, the very powerful political and rich individuals who came to power in the 1990s. Khodorkovsky had begun to finance political opponents of Putin and to have his eye, if not directly, on presidential power himself, then at least to be some sort of power behind the throne. Putin saw that as a personal threat, and therefore I think much of the campaign that we've seen unleashed over the past year and a half starts from that basis point.
When you talk about Putin and his entourage being statists, I mean, do you think that they believe mineral resources, on principle in a way, should be held by the state? Or is there a factor of greed involved? Do they want a piece of the action?
I think probably for Putin personally, first and foremost, the idea is control. These natural resources represent a huge amount of money in investment decisions and indeed foreign policy decisions, actually, in terms of whether or not to deliver oil and gas and raw materials to other countries. So for him, I think that's what statism means. However, there's no doubt that there are many others, I think, in his entourage who are personally interested, who have perhaps investments directly or indirectly, friendships, contracts with a number of these companies. And clearly, a state-controlled company, one without outside shareholders or partners, one without clearly audited books, one which is opaque rather than transparent, certainly creates the conditions for mismanagement at best and corruption at worst.
What do you think will be the long-term impact of this sale of Yukos?
It's clearly going to drive a wedge between the West and Russia once again in economic terms. On the other hand, I think that the stakes are so high in the energy sector, as the West in general, political leaders, and indeed the big Western multinational oil companies search for new areas where they can seek reserves of oil and gas outside the politically sensitive regions of the Middle East. And in that context, the riches that Russia offers, even with changed rules of the game, are too important to be ignored.
Is there some central idea that you hope to convey with this book?
I think the central idea is that Putin is a liberal authoritarian, that we may like it or not, but the reality is, if we want to understand Russia today, we shouldn't expect or assume that this is a country that is moving towards a Western nation in terms of democratic values or even liberal economic ideas. It's a country that's going in its own way, in its own pace.
Andrew Jack is the outgoing Financial Times bureau chief based in Moscow and the author of a new book called Inside Putin's Russia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.